England.
Gasparri, you can finish it here! Gasparri! 2-0! Would you believe it? From one end of the field to the other, the crowd are in raptures. The England players too. And England are marching towards the quarterfinals.
Nice to see you, Nice. See what I did there? And welcome to Back of the Net, the England Euro 2016 podcast with myself, Sam Davis, and an angry, unconsolable, miserable Sean Barker. He's so irate, in fact, that he can't even speak. Sean, do you not want to do this bit? Okay, I'll go solo. So over the course of the next 40 minutes or so, we'll be trying to come to terms with what happened on Monday, as well as discussing the future for the England team, the next potential manager of our national side, plus we'll also briefly chat about Wales, as well as giving our predictions for who is going to win the Euro Championship. As well as this, here's what's coming up on Back of the Net. Well, if you weren't already aware, judging by the fact that the podcast so far has been entirely me so far, I was lying. Sean's actually not here this week. So, to discuss the match versus Iceland, we've brought in Cherries, Manchester United and England fan Joel Fabian, who will attempt to dissect our 2-1 loss at the hands of a nation of 330,000 inhabitants. Good luck with that, Joel. We'll also take a wide boy swagger down memory lane with another Do You Remember, where we feature an England player from yesteryear. Will you get it right this week? So with Sean absent this week, I've been left with the responsibility of donning the news uniform, but I can only find the bow tie that Sean left me. Is that right? Anyway, we'll be giving you a brimming bulletin of brilliance in the latest and final, unfortunately, instalment of the England Euro 2016 news. Plus, we'll be giving our predictions on the quarterfinals, as well as our predictions on who we think will be lifting the trophy in the Stade de France in July. So that's all to come on this damp squib of an episode of Back of the Net, but first, let's have a listen to your thoughts on what was a highly frustrating night in Nice.
Iceland are the worst I've ever seen, but the fit England, and it hurts me so much. I'm devastated at the moment. Iceland, the worst I've ever seen.
Well, look, honestly, first things first, fair play to Iceland. They defended so well. It's a bad week for Britain, bad week for the UK. Honestly. England had the chance. They played Iceland. They could have had Portugal. But they didn't show up and they lost. Iceland, I'm happy they've gone through. They worked hard, but I mean, England didn't show up at all.
I've been angry since the 90th minute. I've got a bit of a curveball on my theory about it.
Cool.
In the fact that since... Well, here's the people to blame. Shilton, Waddle, Pierce, Gazza, Beckham. Anyone who's made an absolute blunder will be the unfortunate one to take that penalty when we've missed. And been then slated and murdered by the media. England players since 98 have been petrified of being that one player. And that has put the fear of God into every England team ever since.
I'm a West Ham fan, and I've seen some ups and downs.
that I've never seen, probably the lowest ebb in my whole life of loving football. There was no fight, there was no passion, and I think it doesn't stop with Jason, Roy Hodgson. Of course it does. He's the manager now. It has to stop with him. They were absolutely appalling tonight. Mistakes regardless, they were absolutely outrageous. No passion, no fight, and it's the worst I've ever seen an England side play.
The players tonight showed absolutely nothing for this country. Mm-hmm. Watching that game was just, it was just a shambles all round. Rashford, he waits till 85th minute to bring Rashford on. He looked our best player. He ran at defenders. Why would you wait 85 minutes when you need a goal to get back into the game? I just don't understand it. You wait two subs, what, do nothing, and you wait till the 85th minute to make another. I just don't understand it at all.
Ugh, so those were the views from the supporters in the fan parks and also people on the radio, not so happy, and I think that's everyone covered. Let me just check my Facebook. Yeah, nothing. Oh, hang on a sec, there's another. Oh, my blocked contacts folder seems to have a message. Ah, this is awkward. Sean Barker. Let's press play.
Hi, this is Sean from Wellington, New Zealand. I just want to say I really love the show, especially Sam, not so keen on the other fella. My thoughts on the England game, wow. I'd actually stuck up for the team through the group stage, felt that we were playing pretty well, creating chances, just not scoring, and that it would all come right. And whoa, did it spectacularly all crash and become awful with that game. First couple of minutes looked great, scored a goal, here we go, all on. And then a couple of minutes later, all over. Absolutely abysmal. The second half in particular, no one wanted to be the guy that made a mistake, it seems. So they all became so tepid that they all just made mistake after mistake. But no one wanted to shoot, no one wanted to take anyone on. People are starting to think about their holidays and let the ball go underneath their foot. Best player, Rashford, for 4 minutes. So, you know, glad he had a good run out. But truly, truly awful. But hey, you know, at least now we'll be able to rebuild and have a complete overhaul of the FA in England. And, you know, in the next tournament, it'll be so much better. Sounds familiar.
It certainly does familiar, as does that voice. Mr. Sean Barker, do come back soon. I don't know why you were in my block contacts in Facebook. I think someone must have pressed the wrong button somewhere, Sean, honestly. England suffered their worst humiliation since they were knocked out of the 1950 World Cup by USA in Brazil, as Iceland shocked them in the last 16 of the Euros. Roy Hodgson resigned after the abject embarrassment of losing to a nation ranked 34th in the world. Despite taking the lead through Wayne Rooney's fourth-minute penalty, Iceland equalised within a minute as England failed to deal with a trademark long throw and Ragnar Sigurdsson bundled home from close range. England's shameful performance was summed up in the 18th minute when goalkeeper Joe Hart was badly at fault, just as in the win over Wales, as he let in Sigurdsson's shot through his hand. Hodgson made changes as Iceland dug in, but the underdogs had as many chances as England did before the final whistle blew on their 2016 hopes and his four-year tenure as manager. So as I said before, we've got Joel Fabian here. He's a friend from uni. He hails from Colchester. He's a Red Devil at heart since he was a young lad, but he's become an avid Cherries fan. And of course, he's a staunch supporter of the Three Lions too. Joel, how are you?
Yeah, how's it going, man? Doing moderately good after yesterday. But
so how did you feel this morning? What were your overriding feelings?
I mean, like, you know, like, we've known each other a long time, right? And I don't normally get that upset by the England games and, like, the performances. And, you know, geez, we've got plenty of bad ones to sort of, you know, go back through the memory banks with. But there was just something about yesterday that was just so soul destroying, like a gutting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I felt absolutely rubbish this morning, and like in a proper stinky mood at work, and it's just not good, man.
Weirdly, I actually didn't feel too bad, and I don't know quite why that was, but I was actually watching the match, like chuckling away at certain things that were happening. I mean, we'll go through what happened, sort of, you know, minute by minute in the game ever so shortly, but basically, Roy Hodgson, he made 6 changes with the lineup, but effectively it was the same side that started against Russia, barring Daniel Sturridge coming in for Adam Lallana. One of the things that people were talking about and they were a bit irate by and a bit confused by was Raheem Sterling coming back in. Let's just take his performance yesterday aside. So, you know, based on how he'd done so far, do you think he should have been back in the lineup?
Roy always makes some funny decisions, doesn't he? But yeah, but like also Lallana, what did Lallana do to get dropped as well?
Yeah,
exactly. Another one too, that was a weird decision. And they were saying that we were playing a team that were the same players for the last 4 matches. So how is it that Iceland know what their team is and we don't? And, you know, it was pretty much the story every game, is that he was still tinkering even when we were playing in the tournament. And then it came to the most important game we had so far, and he goes and makes another 6 changes. And, they were saying on Match of the Day, it just looked like he had no clue what he was doing.
Hmm.
He had no idea what he was doing. He had no idea what his best players were. He didn't bring any wingers with him apart from Sterling, because he didn't bring Andros Townsend or Oxlade-Chamberlain. Although I think Oxlade-Chamberlain might have been injured.
Yeah.
He didn't bring any wingers at all, so he couldn't change Sterling if he wanted to. And Lallana didn't deserve to be dropped. I don't get what that was about as well. He played quite well, but yeah, he just goes and drops him for Sturridge and playing players out of position that shouldn't be in those positions. And yeah, it was mental. It was bizarre. I've never seen anything like that from England.
So yeah, I mean, he makes all the changes then. He pretty much reverted to his original side. But the thing is, what you've got is a lack of momentum, because, you know, 6 of those, well, 5 of those players or whatever weren't playing against Slovakia. So there's not the momentum there. And on the previous show with Sean, he said, you know, not having the momentum may not bode well in the next round. And it seemed to be the case. However, England did start very brightly, didn't they? And it was a long ball over the top, and it was Raheem Sterling that sort of drew the foul in the penalty area. I actually didn't think the referee was going to give it at first, but he just got a touch on the ball, and then, you know, the keeper connected with him afterwards, and I instantly thought, Raheem Sterling, brilliant, what a masterstroke from Roy Hodgson. And then Rooney steps up and scores the penalty, and we're all feeling at this stage like Steve McLaren, feeling positive and happy. We'll talk about that clip a bit later on. What were your feelings for those 42 seconds whilst we were 1-0 up, Joel?
I felt, actually, it was weird, because I thought it was a soft penalty, wasn't it? It was pretty soft, and I felt really bad for a little bit bad for Iceland, actually. But, you know, as it turns out, I shouldn't have been worried for too long, because, you know, I mean, Jesus, it was like one of the shortest lived positive moments I think I'd ever seen. It was just, yeah, it was crazy, man. It was totally crazy. What did they do after the kickoff? They kicked the ball downfield, and that was it, wasn't it, pretty much? It was straight from kickoff.
Yeah, I think.
And clear it downfield. And then one of our players heads it out. They do a long throw, knock it on, and what was his name? I'm sounding like a right football expert now.
Oh yeah, Sigurdsson.
Right back goes and loses his man.
Oh right.
Dele Alli doesn't go and follow in either. And then next thing you know, they're like throw on goal and heading the ball in. And yeah, it was kind of weird, because I felt almost like justice was sort of done a little bit. You worry about these teams, like you think Iceland, okay, right, they can concede a goal within 3 minutes, and you think, oh man, that's kind of unfair, you know, especially for a penalty. Are we going to absolutely roast them now?
Yeah.
And it just never even felt like that at all, especially when that equaliser went in. I was bricking it.
Yeah.
Absolutely bricking it. And
I was saying to a lot of people during the sort of previous first days, if England score first, they will absolutely annihilate them. And we did, yeah. But that was assuming that they would concede straight afterwards. And it wasn't too long before they then scored their second. That was about 12 minutes later, and that was Sig Thorsson who scored. Right-footed shot from the centre of the box. It was assisted by John Daddy Bavardsson, and it wasn't the strongest of efforts. Joe Hart was at fault there, surely, Joel?
Yeah, it was a nice sort of height, wasn't it? It wasn't hit particularly hard. He's been a little bit uncertain all tournament, hasn't he? And I don't know, what do you think? Do you think he's too loyal to certain players?
Yes, Roy Hodgson is. For instance, there were players that could have been included that weren't. Danny Drinkwater, Mark Noble. Yet he goes for Jack Wilshere in the middle, who has barely played a game all season because he's one of his favourites. I mean, I know Jack Wilshere came on in the friendly. You know, we were at Wembley watching the match against Portugal, weren't we? And when Wilshere came on, he did all right. You know, a few twists and turns, and he sort of managed to open up the game. But I do feel as though there are players that have, you know, that earned it, have a lot more than, you know, than what he has. So,
yeah, Wilshere, a classic example. Yeah, he is just. How can you pick a guy that has played next to no football against a guy that's played almost every game the season and played for the champions of the Premier League, as well?
But you know,
and then like Joe Hart has he's looked a little bit. He's had shaky moments.
Yes.
For a couple of seasons now, and you've got Jack Buckland, you've got Fraser Forster, who are looking like quality alternatives. And it's not, they didn't even get a game. They didn't even get a game. They didn't even get a game in the group stages. It was just, honestly, I don't know what to make of it, really.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that Joe Hart was almost too pumped up before the game. The camera sort of panned to him and he was kind of pumping his chest and he was almost too hyped. And, you know, a lot of experts have said, you know, he's got to calm down. All this kind of nervous energy is not good. And he flailed at that. And what I love about the instant nature of Twitter and social media and stuff are these tweets and things that go around. We'll talk about them a bit later on. But yeah, 2-1 to Iceland. And we had chances to bring it back to 2-2. Harry Kane had an excellent volley. But, you know, they were half chances. I mean, Iceland probably had one of the most clearest chances. That was in the second half with that overhead kick, and it was only just fortunate that it was straight at Joe Hart, otherwise that would have been 3-1.
Yeah, I think Gunnarsson as well, like he had a one-on-one and one as well towards the end. Yeah, I mean they looked like they were more capable of extending the lead. I don't know, you know, I don't know about you as well, like I was expecting a reaction at the start of the second half.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, it never came at all. And I mean, it was so weird to watch. It was like sort of, this is going to show my geeky side coming across.
Yeah.
Okay, but it was like the equivalent of a blue screen of death on Windows, and they just had no idea of how to restart at all. Rooney was probably one of the biggest culprits as well. So they were saying that we were a young team and we didn't have any leaders out on the pitch. What's Rooney then? What's he? I mean, like, he's one of our most experienced players, and he fell apart completely. He absolutely fell apart. And then all the young players are standing there watching this going on. It looked like it was like a computer reset button going off, and like everyone was just going, well, what do we do? What do we do now? And it was bizarre.
There was a real severe lack of cohesion there, and no one really seemed like they knew what they were doing. In fact, there was one moment which has been captured on an animated GIF. I love these animated GIFs that go around, where Roy Hodgson was, you know, the camera panned into Roy Hodgson, and you could see Roy looking up at the big screen, and then he tries to look like he's got a plan, so he scratches his chin like a Bond villain. And it was just like...
Did you hear about the one where they had the Prince William and the head of the FA were at the Portugal-England match?
Yeah.
And I think it was the Portugal-England match, and basically the camera panned to them while they were singing the national anthem.
Mm.
And the head of the FA saw that they were on the screen and then put a little bit more effort into his singing for the national anthem. It was like, yeah, I don't think I'm quite, you know, putting the pipes through this. So I'm really just gonna give it 150%. Yeah. Just so I look like, you know, people are loving it. It's, yeah.
But, I mean, they didn't seem to know... Yeah, I mean, to me, they just didn't seem to know how to break them down. Now, on Twitter, I was liaising with, you know, chatting with a lot of people about, you know, the way we're playing, and effectively, apart from a last minute goal, we'd have had 3 points and, you know, barely qualified for the last 16. Iceland had an average of 28% possession in their first three group games, so yet they, you know, they did incredibly well to qualify. Some people were saying last night it's a shock. To me, it actually wasn't that much of a shock. Yes, if you consider the size of our populations and, you know, the football leagues and all that kind of stuff, yes, it was. But, you know, when Bournemouth went up to Chelsea and beat him 1-0, yes, in terms of the size of the club, it's a shock. But on league form, it wasn't that much of a shock because Chelsea were only a couple of points ahead of us. People were saying, you know, wait until we play a team who try to attack us. When we play that, you know, the game will be open and we'll break them down. But why would teams choose to play like that when they know that they can just defend for their lives and hit us on the counter against a largely inexperienced international defence? We drew against Russia, you know, in, like as I said, barring a last-minute goal against Wales, we drew against them, we drew against Slovakia. And then, you know, the Icelandic, you know, management team, one of whom is a dentist by trade, I mean, what on earth? Yeah. You know, they did an absolute number. I was fairly amused by it all. Did you see Steve McLaren on Sky Sports News, Joel?
Oh, I don't know. What did he say? No.
It's hilarious. If you manage to see it, you know that Sky Sports haven't got the coverage.
Was it with the Dutch accent?
For once, it wasn't with the Dutch accent. But you know, on Sky Sports, they didn't actually have the rights to show it. So it shows Steve McLaren. He's got his headset on and he's explaining what's going on. At this point, it's 1-1 in the game. And he's saying, look, England got no problem. They just got to restart and it's going to be fine. We're going to hit a few goals past them. We just need to calm down, play our way. I'm fully confident we're going to do this. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be fantastic. And his face then just drops as Iceland score. And it's the best 40 seconds of video that I've seen on Twitter today. You know,
I've got to check this out. Yeah. Seeing anything with Steve McLaren having his pants put around his ankles, that's just hilarious.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's we're out. And Roy Hodgson, straight after the final whistle, said goodbye. A very short statement. Do you think that's the right decision?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I think, he said he was going to hang up after the tournament anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is the most unbelievable stat. Like you're saying that one of them was a dentist. The coach for Iceland was a dentist by his 9-to-5 job. And we paid $4.6 million
for Roy
Hodgson. And so what did we pay for? You know, what was the tactical genius that we paid for, like $5 million for?
So there's a lot of talk about the next England manager. Now, this is usually an AFC Bournemouth podcast, and it's not a surprise to Bournemouth fans that Eddie Howe's name has been mentioned. To me, it's a little bit too soon for him, but I don't know, out of the people that you've heard, I mean, we'll hear later on in the podcast on Club News some of the runners and riders. Who would you like to see succeed him?
To be honest, I was, apart from Eddie Howe, sorry, Bournemouth fans, but... Yeah, apart from Eddie Howe in the list, I thought there's not a lot of options really, is there? It's a bit scary.
In terms of English managers,
I was thinking thinking about Wales the other day. You think of like all the quality potential managers they've got coming up, like like Pulis and everything like that. As soon as Chris Coleman decides he's had enough, they got like Pulis waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
And they've got quality Premier League managers that can come in. And yeah, I mean, like, I think you're right. I think Eddie Howe is maybe a little bit too young yet to sort of take it on. But I mean, is international football really that much of a step up from the Premier League? I mean, if he can do it in the Premier League, why can't he do it in international managing? But I mean, I sound like I'm a Match of the Day bloody like fan here, but Shearer offered his services during the program, and like, you know, why not? I think Shearer, why not? He's maybe we should be doing like what a lot of other countries are doing, and actually bring in former players to manage these players, because at least then they should have some respect. These are guys that have been there, done it, you know, won Premier Leagues, won titles, wherever. And if they can't respect someone like Alan Shearer, then, you know, they're not going to respect anyone. I think that would be a really good show, actually. Maybe like a coalition, you know. I mean, there was talk about Glenn Hoddle. I'm not sure if that's such a good idea, but, you know, a few players to go in there. Why not? Completely sort of... I don't think Gareth Southgate's the answer. There's all this chat about Gareth Southgate. I mean, what? So he was great for relegating Middlesbrough.
Yeah,
and being a little bit of a wet blanket. I mean,
even Roy Hodgson wasn't exactly a revelation in his club career. I mean, he didn't exactly pull up trees at Liverpool, did he? You know, at the time, I wanted Harry Redknapp, but I think maybe that ship has sailed now. But I don't know.
How old is old Harry now? He's probably what? He's in his late 60s.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it is. Like you as well, I was expecting Harry Redknapp to be announced as the next manager. And then when it was Roy, it's a little bit of disbelief, actually. Like you say, he'd been sacked by Liverpool. And I think probably his best time was maybe at Fulham or something like that.
Not great. Well, it's been horrible. But we'll talk in a moment about who we think is going to win Euro 2016. But a regular feature for those who listen to Back of the Net now, and a chance to quiz your brains of England players of the past with yet another Do You Remember? This footballer was born in Merseyside on 2nd of September 1982 and is commonly known by a shortened version of his first name. He's one of a select few players to play for both Liverpool and Everton in his youth career. His first professional club was Manchester City in 2002, and since then he's played for teams in the top two tiers of English football, the top French tier, and now the Scottish Premiership. He has one cap for England, which came about in 2007 when England played Spain. His inclusion came as a surprise after he publicly berated many of the England team for releasing books after their poor showing at the 2006 World Cup. Famed for his outspoken tweeting, the player has been described as the dirtiest player in the Premier League, a style reflected in the high number of fouls he has committed during his career. He played for Manchester City, Newcastle United, QPR, Marseille, Burnley, and now Rangers. So that was this week's Do You Remember on Back of the Net. And I do still have Mr. Joel Fabian on the line, who is listening intently to those clues, Joel. Do you know who that was?
Yeah, I think I got a pretty good idea, actually. His comments about Gary Neville last night as well were hilarious.
Okay, well, don't tell us, because people at home have got about 10, 15 minutes to get it right. But what I'll do is I'll connect with you at the end of the show, and we'll see if you got it right. But now, on Back of the Net, it is time for the England Euro 2016 Club News. Oh yeah, quick heads up, no puns this week, but I have done a few bad accents.
England
Euro News. Gareth Southgate should not be the next England boss, says Harry. Gareth Southgate being favourite to succeed Roy Hodgson as England manager is scary, says Harry Redknapp. But Redknapp said Southgate was only seen as a favourite for the job because he had won a second-rate tournament with England under-21s in Toulon.
Why should he get it in front of Steve Bruce and Sam Allardyce, who are proven managers? Asked the former QPR boss.
When it was suggested that Southgate knew the way the Football Association worked, as well as the English system, Redknapp responded,
Knows what system? The losing system? He knows the losing formula. I like Gareth Southgate. He's a terrific lad. But what's he done?
Media reacts to Iceland's shock win. Of course, Viking conquests of England are nothing new. Those were the words of Iceland's Reykjavik Grapevine newspaper. For them, the result was not a big surprise. History was on their side. Throughout Euro 2016, the newspaper has provided coverage of Iceland's sparkling campaign, which is rivaled only by the breathless TV commentary of Gummy Ben. Yes, we've heard him. Even before a ball was kicked, Iceland was ready for Brexit too. In France, Le Monde newspaper says,
They're not afraid of anybody. Les Blues will have celebrated, but they hope one thing, not to become the next victims of these incredible football players who have come in from the cold. Oh, he, oh, he, oh.
However, the jeering was too much for leading Welsh language campaigner and Real FC fan Fred Francis, who wrote on Twitter,
Instead of revelling in England's loss, Wales should congratulate Iceland, another small country that's shown how to win at Euro 2016. Gogh, gogh, gogh.
Finally, in the Australian Daily Telegraph, Martin Gibbs said,
To understand the true depth of England's defeat to Iceland, you need every letter of every alphabet.
All right, calm down. We won't mention the rugby, eh? The bets are on for new England manager. So, let's look at the runners and riders. Mr. Eddie Howe. We all know about him. The Bournemouth manager has led the club to the top flight of English football for the first time ever. He secured three promotions during his time with the Cherries. Brad Jones, England fan, says, Eddie Howe would be my choice. He's the top English manager in the Premier League and would be an excellent choice. Gary Neville. The former Manchester United defender has worked closely with Roy Hodgson and England in recent years, but a brief spell in Spain managing Valencia didn't end too well, although some of the England fans we spoke to believe he could work. Harry Redknapp. Harry Redknapp was linked heavily to the England position before Roy Hodgson was appointed 4 years ago. The former Tottenham manager has recently been working with the Jordan national team. It's unlikely the Football Association will revisit Harry as an option, but he's certainly a fan's favourite. Hymir Hallgrímsson and Lars Lagerbäck. Iceland's management executed a masterful game plan over England, so it's no surprise they got a mention. Hallgrímsson is a dentist by trade, but we're sure the FA would allow him to work part-time. And of course, other names that have banded about include Rafael Benitez, Alan Pardew and Sam Allardyce. Who's your pick?
England Euro News.
Thank you very much, Mr. Newsreader, for the news there. Well, it was actually me, but thanks anyway, Sam. So that was the Euro 2016 news, and yeah, it's all going on at the moment. What with Brexit at the moment and everything, it's all up in the air. However, there is a tournament still to be played, and it is the quarterfinals now. So yeah, we've got some interesting quarterfinals. Mr. Joel Fabian is still on the line with us, and we're just going to have a brief overview of who we think is going to win this damn thing. England, of course, are out, but the games we've got then are Poland v Portugal, Wales versus Belgium, Germany versus Italy, and France versus Ireland. So eight teams left. Are there any ties you're looking forward to? But, you know, have you got a name in there that you think their name is on this trophy already?
I can't wait to see Iceland play again. I think they're what this whole tournament's been about. Just these sort of crazy little nations just sort of tearing the big boys a new one, isn't it? That's going to be quality to see them play again. But watching Italy play the other night, I absolutely love watching them play. Mm. And they put a smile on my face when I see them play, because there is just no team that embodies a team more than Italy does. I mean, you look at the players that Germany and Spain have got, and they absolutely battered Spain.
Yeah, they did.
They were so good. I would want them to win it. I don't know whether they're going to, but I think they're definitely capable of it. And considering Germany have never beaten them in a competitive competition, I think they're a very good shout to win it. And I would love to see them win it. They just sort of, I think probably their biggest player is still Buffon, isn't it? Their goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And they just play 110% for each other. And it's just awesome to watch. And plus, also, you know, their name sounds great with chicken. So
why
not go for that? You've got to love that.
But I mean, on the one side of the draw, then you've got, you know, out of these four teams, there will be a finalist: Poland, Portugal, Wales, Belgium. Who would you say?
I'd love to say Wales. So, I mean, like, you're thinking qualification, they gave Belgium a roasting, didn't they? But then, I don't know, after that last game, Belgium suddenly woken up after going putting, was it 4 past Hungary, wasn't it? They looked annoyingly good. Then, my heart says Wales, but I think probably my head says Belgium. Mm. And then probably.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be an interesting one. So yeah, Joel's saying probably a Belgium Germany final. It's going to be an interesting contest. Sometimes you can't see past the Germans sometimes, but I'm with you on this. I've loved the way that Italy have played. The way they took Spain apart, and when they went in 1-0 at half time, it was, you know, they could have had 3 or 4, and I'm not even exaggerating, they really could have absolutely annihilated the Spanish. But 2-0 on any terms is a decent result, and they just seem to have the great mix of getting players behind the ball when they need to, being quick on the counter attack, being strong in the tackle. And like you, I actually really enjoy watching them play. So
I don't know how they do it every tournament. They just, you can never write them off.
No, that's right.
And Conte has just got them playing with so much energy and strength tackle. They're just so much fun to watch. Just brilliant. Love watching them play.
Yeah, it should be a very interesting one. So then, Joel, I'm going to, balls out of the bath on this one. That's a bit of an Alan Partridge of me, is it? So your team to win Euro 2016, let's go for head and heart. Your head says and your heart says?
My head says Germany. My heart says Italy.
I'm actually with you on that. I'm absolutely with you on that in unison. What do you think? Make sure you tweet us. We're at AFCB Podcast, and you can also give our Facebook page a like and comment on there. facebook.com/AFCB Podcast as well. So that's it from Back of the Net, the England Euro 2016 podcast. Now, many of you will know we're actually staunch AFC Bournemouth fans here, so of course the podcasts will continue, but unfortunately it is au revoir for the England Euro 2016 podcasts. But remember, If you want to hear more of our dulcet tones, do subscribe. You can listen on iTunes. Press that subscribe button. It's afcbpodcast.com/iTunes, or subscribe on YouTube, afcbpodcast.com/YouTube. That will take you to iTunes, take you to YouTube. We're also on Mixcloud, Acast as well. There's no excuse not to subscribe. And tell your friends as well, ready for the next season at the Vitality Stadium, where AFC Bournemouth are going to win the league, eh? Well, maybe not. But we've got a few things to wrap up before we go. Not least, Joel, thank you very much for coming on this podcast.
Pleasure, dude. Absolute pleasure.
And we want to know if you got this week's Do You Remember? Did you manage to get who it was?
Yeah, it's got to be the one and only Joey Barton.
Yes, well done. It is Jerry Barton. Well, fantastic, Joel. You're a lot better at guessing than I am, because I don't usually put this feature together. It's my fellow colleague who couldn't make this week's show, Sean, and I usually really struggle, but you got that one absolutely spot on. Joel, thank you very much for coming on, sir.
No worries, man. Quality stuff.
So this has been Back of the Net, the England Euro 2016 podcast, and we're going to leave you with the best bits of England's Euro campaign.
England, 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 England.
England. Here's Gasper. Gasper, and he can finish it here. Gasper! 2-0. Would you believe it? From one end of the field to the other, the crowd are in raptures. The England players too. And England are marching towards the quarterfinals.
England, England, England.